Well, we are really fortunate to have with us on the show today Ron Rash. And as I said earlier, many of you probably know him. He's widely acclaimed New York Times bestselling author. You probably know him from books like One Foot in Eden, which is my personal favorite of his, Saints at the River, The World Made Straight, also Serena, The Cove. He's had several collections of short stories, one of which is just out, and it is called Nothing Gold Can Stay. He's going to talk to us about it today. He is a two-time recipient of the O. Henry Prize. He currently holds the John Parrish Chair in Appalachian Studies down at Western Carolina University, and that's down in Cullowhee, North Carolina. So he has certainly made a name for himself, and he has worked long and hard for all of his wide acclaim, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But because of all of those great accolades, that's the main thing about Ron Rash, is he is a really great guy, and we're really glad to have him here today on Hillbilly Solid.
Well, glad to be with you today.
We're excited to hear that you have a new collection of short stories out. It's called Nothing Gold Can Stay. And I'm sure lots of folks out there are real excited about that. What can you tell us about this new book?
Well, once again, it's a book. Obviously, stories are set in mainly Western North Carolina. They're set different time periods, going back to the Civil War to the present. And some of the stories deal with some contemporary problems such as meth. Some of the stories deal with some, you know, older issues in the region, but I hope some of the stories show people doing the best they can with the hand they dealt. It seems to me to be a lot about what fiction should be about.
I guess that story that was in the New Yorker, The Trustee, is it in this collection?
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
That's a fine, fine story. One that I'm using in my writing workshop this time. So glad it's been collected.
Yeah, it's good to have another book of stories out. I write poetry and novels as well, but short story is my favorite form. And, it's the one that I enjoy the most, writing and reading.
Why do you think?
I don't know. Maybe part of it is that, for me, it gives me, when it's done well, writers such as Alice Munro or O'Connor, it gives me the attentiveness to language of a poet, yet at the same time a sense of a complete story being told that you get in a novel. I mean, obviously it's going to be a smaller story, smaller canvas, but I think a great short story, you don't want any more. You feel like that story's complete.
I've heard some writers say that they spend as much time on a short story as they do a novel. And are you that way, or are you able to write them quicker? Or?
They're slow for me. I mean, they're quicker than novels. Novels usually take me 3 years. But a story is, as I say, I go over it word by word. And I try to make sure every sentence needs to be there. It's essential. I mean, obviously you fail at that, but you try to set that as the standard. But it's a tough form, but it's one I've always loved. I was thinking about that today. I loved Poe's stories when I was young, and that was some of the first writing that I really got into, and Jack London. So I guess I've always kind of enjoyed them.
Me too. Yeah, I always loved Poe, especially. What you have produced so much work over the last just few years, a lot of poems and short stories and several novels. And I know that you probably get this question all the time, but I mean, how is it that you've produced so much in the last few years, do you think? I mean, do you think that you've changed your writing habits, or what is it?
I think writers have certain periods in their lives where they kind of hit their stride, and I think it's a different time for different writers. Some writers very early in their career, some later, and I think I'm one that kind of came around a little bit later. I just kind of felt like maybe in the last 10 years I've maybe figured out what I'm, at least somewhat, what I'm doing, and it just seems like I've had the drive, energy, whatever it is that, you know, that it takes to really kind of go at it the last decade. And it's, as I say, different writers have different periods in their lives where they can do that, but I think this has been mine.
I'm wondering if you can tell us anything about what you're working on these days.
I'm working on some more stories. I've written 5 novels now, and every time I finish a novel, I swear I'll never do another one. I probably yeah. told you that, as a matter of fact. But I'm just writing some stories now, and they continue to give me satisfaction. I continue to enjoy writing them, and so that's kind of been my focus of late.
When you're working on stories, do you have any kind of, I don't know, binding thing that holds them together, you know, like a binding theme that holds them together, or is it just how they come? And
yeah, they just kind of come. I mean, I think very often I just kind of lock into a voice. It doesn't necessarily have to be a first person voice, but just a kind of voice that I'm hearing in my head. And most of the time I don't know where the story's going, and I think that's probably a good thing. I like to be surprised just as the reader likes to be surprised. So I just kind of go with them. You know, I may have a general sense of where a story's set or what may happen in it, but, I just kind of go by instinct, which is kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't know. I mean, it may be a dead end, and sometimes it is, but that's just always kind of the way I've worked.
Right, right. Well, we are speaking with Ron Rash, the author of Serena, One Foot in Eden, many other fine books here on Hillbilly Solid on listener-supported radio. We are sure glad you all are joining us for this conversation. Ron, I know that you love classic country music, and I'm wondering if you listen to music when you write.
You know, I don't, and I think there are writers who do, but I pretty much have to have silence. But what I will do is very often, play music before, kind of rev myself up. One of my very favorites is grew up near you, and that's Gary Stewart,
right.
You know.
Yep.
And I still play him a lot, and and sometimes it kind of puts me in the mood, you know, playing bluegrass and country music. It's kind of a way of kind of settling into that place.
I remember in One Foot Eaton, you used music very effectively and sort of setting the mood and the time period and all that. Were you listening to songs from the period when you're writing that book? Or?
Yeah, I was. I checked Billboard charts just to make sure I was getting the right ones back then. But, yeah, I did. I kind of went back and listened because I think music reflects people's states of mind. I mean,
yeah.
You know. Contemporary states of mind. I certainly think I see that now with so much of the music.
I know that you probably have to spend a lot of time reading advanced copies of books that are not out yet, but I'm wondering if there's anything out that you've read lately that you can recommend to people out there listening.
Well, I just read, I just got the copy today. I did a blurb for Holly Goddard Jones's book.
Yeah.
Her new novel, The Next Time You See Me, and I think it's good. I've been going back, and the writer I've kind of gone back to more recently, and I just think she's incredible, is Edna O'Brien, the Irish short story writer.
Yes.
She's amazing. I've kind of gone back and read her, but there's so many good writers out there, and I just hope we can find an audience for them.
Yeah, I love that new Holly Goddard Jones novel. We're going to get her to join us here on the show once that comes out. I really enjoyed it. She's a favorite of mine and a fellow Kentuckian. I think that her sense of place is just amazing, and that she is really capturing a part of Kentucky that people don't think about, you know, in a part of the rural South that's real different and new. I love the way she does that in that book, and I'm glad to hear that you like that one as well.
Oh yeah, it's excellent, and I'm sure it should do very well.
Yeah, hope so.
Deserves to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us what's going on with the film of Serena? Is it wrapped? Is it finished?
Well, they finished it. that's all I know. They pretty much kept me out of the loop, which is fine by me. I've kind of consciously stayed away from it as well. But my understanding is that it will be out in the fall. And, you know, once again, I can't seem to get away from talking about Kentucky because Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep. So we're awful proud of her. You know, she just keeps getting more widely known. So every time that I hear her mention, I think, well, that's good for Ron. That's good for Ron's film. Right. You know,
she really is a great actress. I mean, particularly in Winter's Bone, that novel. I mean, what she did in that movie was amazing.
Yeah, I just saw her in Silver Linings Playbook, and it's really, really great. Have you seen it yet?
No, I want to. I've heard good things about it, yeah.
And in fact, the two stars of Silver Linings Playbook are the two stars of Serena, Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. So it's great that they're going to have that chemistry already going in Serena. So I know you must be really excited about that. And it, you know, everybody in the whole region is proud of you and glad for you, and we, you know how much more widely read books become when films are made of them in today's culture. So, so really glad that's happening for you, Ron.
Well, thank you. That's kind of.
I was saying earlier before you came on the phone that all this success couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So,
well, I think the good thing is that I'm old enough now to where, you know, if it'd been younger, maybe I'd. I think, you know, after you get old enough and it doesn't go to your head, you're just glad that somebody's, you know, read your book.
Right. Well, it sure hasn't gone to your head. And, you know, I think that's so important because there have been really great writers who have been, that it has happened to too early, and it sort of affects the writing, you know, and I think it takes something away from them that can't translate into the writing properly when they do start to get too much into that ego. So I'm glad that hasn't happened for you, Ron.
Well, I think self-doubt's a good thing for a writer. But,
exactly.
You know, the thing that, you know, we've talked about before is that, when, you know, having writers such as Lee Smith kind of show you how to act.
Exactly, right.
You know, and how to handle success is always great.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, she's taught that to both of us.
Yes. Speaking of which, I wanted to since this show is called Hillbilly Solid, you know, we try to show Appalachia as an eclectic place, but also, you know, think about it as a place that's firmly rooted in the present and even the future, but also a place that's about preservation. And one thing that I know that is important to you is dialect and language and things like that. And I'm wondering if if in your years you've done huge book tours and now you've been all over the place with your books and stuff, how do you feel about the way people receive you and that you have preserved your dialect, your speech patterns? And I'm wondering how people have responded to that.
I think for the most part positively. You know, I think, you know, you hope that, or I, you know, I hope that when I use the language in the novels that I show what very often is the complexity of it, the beauty of it, the poetry in it, which is there. You know, it's there in any folk language. And, you know, the example I often use is just, you know, something, an expression my uncle used to say, you know, when he saw a girl scantily clad, that girl hasn't got enough clothes on to wad a shotgun. And, you know, that's funny and humorous, but it's also sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're taking two very unlike things and making this comparison. You know, one thing I've tried to do in my writing is with the dialogue and in the novels is to show some of that. I hope I have.
You definitely have. Once again, I'll just say on behalf of everybody out there listening, we thank you for your work, and we're all so proud of you and glad for your success, and we will all be lining up when Serena comes out in the fall.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you, Silas.
Check out Ron's new book. Once again, it's called Nothing Gold Can Stay. I can guarantee you it will be at all the best bookstores in the country, so look for it.